like to formally acknowledge the Honourable Daniel Andrews, MP, Premier of Victoria, the Honourable Catherine King, wherever she is over there, Federal Member for Ballarat and the Shadow Minister for Health and Medicare, the Acting CEO, Craig Wilding, and our Executive Director of Acute Operations, Ben Kelly, who is over there. And, of course, my fellow board members, we have Juliana Addison, David Miller, and Professor Penny Palliades. And Ballarat Health Service staff, all good that you could join us. We're honoured to have the Premier here today, and Ballarat Health Services would particularly like to thank you so very much for your government's support of the health services, and in particular, to thank you for the funding that went behind this magnificent facility. We are delighted with it. And it seems like only yesterday, but in fact it was in December, that we welcomed Minister Hennessy here to officially open. And that day you were due to come, if you recall, but there was an extreme weather event, and of course you were there at the emergency headquarters. I think we might have dodged a bullet, as they say, on that particular day. And
it wasn't as extreme as it was supposed to be.
Yeah, it was still, yes, not good in some parts of the state. But I was actually reflecting today, driving here, because of that, that we've got to halfway through February and we haven't had any major bushfires, which is fantastic. So touch wood or Laminex. Let's hope that that continues. But what we are very happy is that you've made some time today to actually come and see for yourself what is now a state-of-the-art facility and that serves the whole of our region. The support that the government gives us allows us to support our whole region and in particular to service the needs and the ever-demanding needs of health needs across our communities and region. And again, we're very grateful. And on that note, I will ask you, Premier, if you would like to say a few words.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the warm welcome to Ballarat Health Service. Applause on cue. Very good. Excellent. Thank you for the warm welcome to Ballarat Health Service. I'm always pleased to be here, particularly to celebrate additional investments, the equipment, the facilities that both our nurses, our doctors need to provide the very best care to a growing number of patients. This one's of particular interest because, of course, we made an election commitment 3 years ago that we would provide these additional cardiac catheterisation services. We would give to this local community something that had been absent, basically meaning that people who have helped to build this community can get the care that they need in their local community and not have to travel to Melbourne. As we've just heard from Ernesto, that not only is that about the equity of knowing that your health service is as broad and as strong as it can be, but it's also about the very best clinical outcomes. We know that time, whether it be in stroke, in cardiac or in trauma, time is everything for those three areas. And if we can provide a broader range of services closer to where people live, they can get the care they need locally and much faster, and that delivers much, much better outcomes. This, of course, this cath lab adds to some of the other investments that we've been proud to make over the journey, whether it's the 12-lead ECG expansion in our ambulances, training and the administration of far more of those thrombolytic clot-busting drugs. All of these things are about dealing with the tyranny of distance and making sure that regional health is, when it comes to outcomes, no different to more built-up areas of the state. So it's a great pleasure, to be here, and I know Catherine is the local federal member, board members of course, and some other people who hope to be joining me as colleagues in the not too distant future. They know and understand how important investing and funding health properly is. Now whilst this is a very positive day, we do have to reflect though that Ballarat Health Service and health services across the state are not quite getting the support that they should be getting. We used to have a deal with our Commonwealth Government that was a proper partnership, a 50-50 partnership, and I think most people in Ballarat, indeed in every community, understand that a partnership is about an equal effort and also an equal responsibility and an equal sharing of the risks. We don't have that at the moment, and that's very sad, and that represents more than $50 million that Ballarat Health Services will not be getting over a 5-year period of time. That is if we were to sign up to those agreements. We've refused to do that, and we'll keep fighting hard to make sure that, with nurses, with doctors, with people who know the system very well, we'll keep fighting hard to get a proper partnership, a deal for the future that much better reflects those agreements we had in the past, where we don't have 45% from the Commonwealth and 55% from us. We don't have a cap on Commonwealth expenditure at 6.5% when we know the system's growing at 8.5%, 9%, 10%. We need to do this together. That's how you get the very best outcomes. And the other point, not to be... And I mean, I'd much prefer not to have to reference these things. I'd much prefer to be today celebrating a proper 50-50 partnership. And if that had been on the table last Friday in Canberra, I would have gladly signed up. The other point, of course, is that we control some of the important levers, but there are many others that are not the province of the state government. And that is a well-funded primary healthcare system. If Medicare is not doing well, we've seen some recent reports out of the Productivity Commission, it's getting harder to get a bulk billing doctor. It's getting harder to get the primary care you need. And then, of course, aged care as well. Both of those can have profound impacts on the resources that are available in a hospital like this one, and therefore the outcomes we can provide for patients. So again, it's a very positive day, but at the same time, we owe it to patients and to our staff to be frank and to be honest about the fact that there are some challenges. And people in Ballarat and every community can rest assured we'll keep fighting hard for the best deal for patients and for staff. In this hospital and in every single Victorian hospital. But to everybody involved in this interventional cardiology, this, you know, cardiac services in a general sense, very, very important. The work you do saves lives, and we're very, very grateful for the work that you do. Thank you. And then, finally for questions, that's really the media done.
Okay, so if you wouldn't mind...
No, mate. I was supposed to then chime in and say, we have no questions for you.
Good. Just to walk away and everyone's happy. On behalf of Ballarat Health Services, I would like to thank you, Premier. We are thrilled to be here today and show you our new cardiac catheter facility at Ballarat Health Services. And we greatly appreciate the Andrews government's responsiveness in supporting our capital infrastructure needs of our health service, and we look forward to working with you on future projects throughout the next year. Over the past 12 months, we've seen many developments here at Ballarat Health Services, including the opening of our Gardner Pittard building, the release and the launch of our Ballarat Health Services strategic and clinical services plan. And as an organisation, we continue to work to ensure we have the right resources and infrastructure to meet the future needs of communities across our region. So once again, I'd like to thank you very much for your attendance here and coming to Ballarat Health Services, and greatly appreciate your support. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. Sure, the assembled media may have some questions. Yeah, absolutely. No problem at all. No problem at all. So, where do you want to get it? How's that?
I've got support, yeah. Thank you. Oh,
all right.
That'll stay.
Is that
going
to
pick it up well enough?
Yeah. All good?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm very pleased to be here with Michaela, Juliana and Catherine to talk about not only this really important development for Ballarat Health Services. If you can provide the best equipment to the best staff, then they can provide the very best care close to where people live. That saves lives, because ultimately it saves time. And when it comes to heart attack, nothing beats the quick response. The care you need as fast as possible. That's how you not only save lives, but also in terms of the impact of that cardiac event, that heart attack, on the quality of your life is much reduced if you can get the care that you need quickly. So this is just a common sense investment. It's the sort of thing Labor governments always get on and do. I'll take this opportunity to thank all the staff here at Ballarat Health Service. They do a fantastic job. We're very, very proud to think that we have a strong partnership with our ambulance paramedics, with our nurses, midwives, allied health staff, the other staff across the hospital, cooks and cleaners and everybody. It's all part of a team, and of course our doctors who do a fantastic job as well. The whole team here not only represent the best of care, but this is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, biggest employers in this local area. So we're always pleased to grow services, to grow options for patients, and to take the opportunity to say thanks for all the work that's done here. This will be about 50 patients per week when it's up to full speed, and we're really pleased to have been able to make that investment. Otherwise, that's 50 people that would either get a service not fast enough, or they'll get a service perhaps in time, but they'd have to go all the way to Melbourne with the difficulties that that poses for loved ones, for family. This is just a much, much better way to go. And it tells a story of having grown Ballarat Health Services over a long period of time. We're really pleased to have always been on the side of better care, faster, for Ballarat families, and that won't be changing anytime soon. Just in, I'll let Catherine can speak as well about the what's going on in Canberra, but I would just make the point that I would have signed up last Friday. I would have much preferred to have got a health agreement than to have a health argument, because that would benefit patients. But I'm not going to sign up to something that shortchanges Victorian patients and devalues the work that our nurses and doctors and that whole team that I spoke about before do every single day. A proper partnership, most your readers, your listeners and viewers, just common sense Victorians know a partnership is an equal effort. Not 45-55, and not 45% that's then capped when ours cannot be, because we never turn people away. We're always about providing exactly what everyone needs as best we possibly can. That can't as well be separated from the many serious problems that are occurring in our primary care system. Medicare is not being properly supported by this Prime Minister, and what's more, aged care needs some significant support as well. There are people in the emergency department of this hospital and every hospital that need not be there if they could get to see a GP more easily. There are people in hospital beds who need not be there, and those beds could be freed up for those who do need that level of care if aged care was better supported by this Prime Minister and this federal government. Once we get, if a good deal is put on the table, of course we stand ready to sign up to that. That's not what's being offered. And to put it another way, just before I hand over to Catherine to put it one finally, put it another way, the difference between what we say is fair and equal and what Mr Turnbull is offering Ballarat Health Service and Ballarat families is $53 million over 5 years. That's a lot of funding. That's a lot of patients getting shortchanged because the Liberals refuse to fund health properly. That's simply not good enough, and I will not be signing up to that. Catherine.
Thanks, Ted. Thanks. Well, look, it's terrific to be here with Premier Andrews, who has been such a beacon, frankly, in the development of this state, but particularly in great investments in our health services, and none better is the example we have here today at Ballarat Health Services, a fantastic investment in a cath lab that will really, absolutely save lives in our community. And I too want to acknowledge the terrific work from our fabulous cardiologists through to our nurses, our ancillary staff, all who are doing such a terrific job at this hospital. I'm also delighted here to be here today with Michaela Settle and Juliana Addison, our state candidates here in this seat, who are great advocates for health. Well, the Premier has basically belled the cat on the Turnbull government's claim that they are making a very generous offer to the states and territories about healthcare. We know from the 2014 budget, the Turnbull-Joyce government took the decision to cut billions of dollars out of public hospitals, billions of dollars out of funding that would have helped improve emergency department waiting times, elective surgery waiting times, but also provide those vital services, more nurses, more doctors in our public hospitals. And then what they did, to add insult to injury, they then put an offer on the table last Friday that they knew was the bare minimum they thought they could get away with. It is a cut. A cut at locking in cuts for the next 7 years of hospital funding. Now, states have belled the cat and said this is absolutely and simply not good enough. It takes billions of dollars out of our public hospital system. And if Malcolm Turnbull thinks that is that's an adequate and generous offer, then he is kidding himself. He's not been into a public hospital for quite some time, and I'd encourage him to do so. He'd be welcome to come into this fabulous hospital, but to talk to some of the staff and hear about the pressures that this hospital's under and the many across the country that will be, in fact, made worse if this deal goes ahead. Thanks.
I'm happy to take any questions you might have.
Or not. Have questions about this?
Or other matters?
Yes. Not,
whatever you... You usually ask me about lots of stuff, so don't make today any difference.
Specific to the $53 million that Ballarat won't get, what does that mean to the patients and to the hospital?
Well, it means that people who need care will wait longer for that care. It means that people who need care, some in fact will miss out. It means our nurses, our doctors, all the team here will have to work harder. It means that in very basic terms, if you don't fund health properly, patients suffer. It's as simple as that. And staff who do such a great job are under more stress and more pressure. That's not good for them, not good for their families. If you fund health properly, you can achieve amazing things. You can save lives and change lives. That's the approach we've taken over the last 3 years with very strong budgets and capital works projects like this, bringing to Ballarat services that were never here previously. It's pretty simple. If you don't fund health properly, patients suffer, and that's, I'm afraid, what is on the table from the Prime Minister at the moment. And because it's an inferior deal that rips off Victorians, I will not sign up to it. Again, I didn't come here today, I don't like spending any time having a health argument. A health agreement is what we need, and one that supports patients to get the care that they need.
Right, I just had a question about recycling, because Warrnambool City Council says it's going to start dumping recycling in landfill from Monday if there's no solution to the problem. So what's your solution?
I think many people are becoming more and more aware of some changes in Chinese government policy in relation to the receipt of landfill, and that's caused some really significant challenges for us, particularly in a number of rural and regional councils. The Minister for the Environment and the Treasurer are right across this issue and are meeting with councils, meeting with recycling companies. And we're hopeful of being able to have some positive things to say quite soon. The notion that we may have to step in and do more, which would potentially come at expense to Victorian taxpayers, we may have to do that, but we're working through those issues in a careful way. This is not of our making. This is principally because of changes in policy from another government, another country indeed. But we will respond to that. We don't want to see people... in the circumstances that you've just outlined.
So when do you hope to have a solution or...?
I'm not in a position to be able to make an announcement today, but we do understand there is some urgency to this, and that's why ministers, both Lily as the Environment Minister and the Treasurer and others, and our officers and the departmental officials, have been working really hard over these last couple of weeks since we first learned that that China would no longer be accepting recycled material.
Weeks or months?
As I said, I'm not here today to make that announcement. And nice try. That's fine. We'll make the announcement as soon as we've got something to say. But be in no doubt, we understand this is a significant issue and we're doing the hard work to try and resolve it.
I've got one for my Melbourne counterparts. Significant delays on metropolitan lines, significant lines this morning. It was down to equipment faults, we heard.
Indeed.
Any progress on what?
The advice I have is that there were some equipment faults, and this... I will take this opportunity just to obviously send our best wishes to any passenger who was impacted by this. But it does remind us, I think, all of us, that we have to invest in a better public transport system, and that's what we're doing. Removing level crossings, extending suburban track, new power, new signalling, and, of course, new trains, all of which are being ordered and delivered and built, all of those things I just mentioned, in record terms. We need to improve our public transport system with investment, and that's exactly what we're doing. Everything from quite small investments all the way through to the $11 billion metro tunnel, which takes the busiest line out of the current city loop and gives it its own tunnel, its own line, creating space and benefits for passengers right across the system. I don't want to see anybody disrupted on their way to work. These were mechanical faults, technical faults, power supply issues of that nature. But it just does remind us we've got to keep working hard as we are to build a much better public transport system.
On the Sturt Street cycling proposal,
yes.
Minister Pulford said yesterday that Vicroads needs to go back to the drawing board. You've seen the plans for this. What parts of it weren't you happy about?
Minister Pulford and I had a conversation not long before she had a conversation with you, so I'm in complete agreement. There are some elements of this redevelopment and these improvements that I think do have broad support. They should proceed, and there should be no hold-up in doing that. There are some other issues about fundamentally changing traffic movement, fundamentally changing the way Sturt Street and ultimately the City of Ballarat works and functions. I don't believe we should be proceeding with those, and we will not be. They are off the table. That's what, you know, listening and then getting on and doing what the community and businesses need. That's what that's all about. So there's not the whole thing back to the drawing board, but there are some elements of it. In the meantime, though, those parts of the plan that I think do have very strong support in the local community, there's no delay. They can get on and get that important work done.
So you can say definitively that there will be no changes to those Sturt Street crossovers?
Correct.
Do you want the cycle path to go down the median strip? Are you happy with that?
Well, again, part of listening is to make sure that you in fact take account of a breadth of different views. The advice I have is that elements of this, particularly in relation to cycling, elements of this package are indeed supported by the community and elements are not. The crossovers, as the Minister outlined yesterday, will not be happening. As for the rest of it, I'm more than happy for people at Vic Roads and other officials to go back and speak to the community and just double check. But as I understood it, the most contentious elements were those elements that the Minister yesterday indicated that the government would not be proceeding with.
Now, as this was just a Vic Roads proposal and not a definitive plan, do you think that this has been a preemptive concession to opposition pressure and misinformation?
Well,
it was a proposal, not an
opposition
official plan.
Not relevant to our plans for Victoria, and I certainly haven't come here to speak about them. What I would say, though, is that the community had a very clear view. The government has listened to the local community. We do get things done, but at the same time, it's always good just to listen and make sure you get the best and most contemporary feedback from people, and that's exactly what we've done. I just got a coffee just up the road before I came here, and there was a bit of material. I don't know whether that material was distributed by people who were necessarily all that concerned about the facts. I expected it to come from the other side of politics. But there is something real about the community's concern in relation to that part of the Sturt Street proposed redevelopment. We've listened, we're acting. That's the most important thing.
And on the regional bus interchange, $5 million yes. for that project, which is part of a broader project.
It's a fantastic project. It's a great project.
You know, is it enough for a growing city in the future? There's only going to be 12 bus bays. They're not for yes. V-line buses. There's nowhere slated right now for V-line buses, regional coaches to go. Is this, you know, the innovative plan that you have for a growing city like that?
Well, we have a budget every year. We have an election at the end of this year. We're in the process now of delivering on those commitments that we made at the last election, and I expect to be back in Ballarat. I love this city. It's a great, great place, and it's synonymous with Victoria's story. Got a lot of family here. I take this community very seriously, and I want to make sure that at the end of this year we've got a positive plan that people in Ballarat can vote for and can support, and then hopefully we can get on and deliver. The bus interchange at this point, that's one part of a broader project. It's not to say there won't be further announcements and further support for families in Ballarat. In fact, I'll boldly predict that there will be. That's what we've done every single year, and that's what we intend to continue doing. There are some, and I don't want to be critical of people for having a different view. People are entitled to their views. But there are some that say that the development of that basically derelict building beside the station is the wrong thing to do. I just take a different view. I think that there are great job opportunities in construction, job opportunities with the hotel, conference centre. This is what Ballarat, I think, has asked for and has pushed us to do. Get on and create jobs, better civic spaces, a more diverse economy, a stronger economy for the future. And that's exactly what we're doing. Bus services, they're one part of it. We're very much about trying to improve services right across the board. That's why we funded Regional Rail Revival. Ballarat Line shares in that. Well, basically a third of that funding is going on the Ballarat line. We are delighted to be able to upgrade all modes of transport for all families.
Yeah, but if there's, you know, 12 planned bus terminals, essentially,
yes.
No current plans for V-Line Regional.
I'm saying to you is we took a plan to the election. We're constructing that. I'm not for a moment ruling out that we wouldn't add to that over time. That's the record we have. That's the history of these things. We'll always look for opportunities.